Welcome to Bible Talk, the program that gives Bible answers to Bible questions. This program is brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. Your speaker is Lynn Huggins, preacher with the St. James Church of Christ.
On our last program, we mentioned that Jesus, our Lord, wants us to practice counter-cultural thinking. There is the thinking of our culture, but then we have the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. In many cases, the thinking of our Lord goes counter to that of our culture. And so the Christian must practice counter-cultural thinking. And so we're looking at various subjects and comparing what our culture teaches us on those subjects with what our Lord teaches us. Today, I want to compare what our culture teaches us concerning homosexuality with what our Lord teaches. Our culture has changed drastically in the past 40 years over how it views homosexuality. Our culture has changed from condemning the homosexual lifestyle to tolerance and acceptance. It has gotten to the point in our culture that if one opposes gay rights, he is labeled a homophobe and a bigot. As a result, many in our society, and even many who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, have gotten on the bandwagon and are promoting the homosexual agenda, or they're just being quiet about it. But, dear listener, the true Christian will not be silent on this subject. Indeed, he cannot. His Lord has been clear on what he taught concerning the practice of homosexuality. If he is a true follower of Jesus Christ, he will teach what his Lord taught, even if it goes counter to the way the culture thinks. Well, what does our Lord Jesus Christ say about the practice of homosexuality? Some people will say that he said nothing. And what they mean by that is that from the direct quotes of Jesus recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there is no specific reference to homosexuality. And so they conclude that Jesus didn't say anything about it. But we need to understand that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John do not reveal all the teachings of Jesus. All the New Testament scriptures from Matthew through Revelation are the words of Jesus. In John 16, verses 12 through 15, Jesus told his apostles that the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit, would come and reveal to them his words. Jesus said that the Spirit, quote, will take of what is mine and declare it to you. And so, what John wrote, and what Peter wrote, what Paul wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, are the very words of Jesus Christ. This is the reason Paul could say in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37, if anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. Paul could say that because he was moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, you can't get any clearer than that. The practicing homosexual is unrighteous, and if he continues in that practice, he will not inherit the kingdom of God. Look with me also in Romans chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Paul said, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. Now Paul says that men left the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men. This is a clear reference to homosexuality, and Paul does not identify it as a gay alternate lifestyle. Rather, he describes it as vile passions, what is against nature, and what is shameful. The practice of homosexuality, then, is a choice, and it is a sinful choice. Therefore, a person cannot accept or condone the homosexual lifestyle and at the same time claim to follow Jesus Christ. But how is it that our culture has made these changes and has come to accept the homosexual lifestyle? Well, I think one thing that has happened is that the gay rights movement has done a good job convincing the general public of the following two beliefs. Number one, homosexuality is inborn. And number two, homosexuality is unchangeable. Based on these two fundamental beliefs, they then appealed to society's belief in compassion and tolerance. They argued, if homosexuality is biological, how can society condemn it? Should we not be tolerant of those who cannot change? Is condemning a person who cannot help the way he is a compassionate act? They then appealed to God's love and compassion, defining God's love to mean acceptance of their practice. But these two fundamental beliefs of the gay rights movement have not been proven. They are myths. I want to show this is true, and I also want to show that God's definition of compassion and love does not include the acceptance of the homosexual lifestyle. Now, first of all, we're told that homosexuality is inborn. In other words, homosexuals are born with same-sex attractions. Well, this has not been scientifically proven. It is admitted by many scientists that homosexual attractions are developed by a combination of environmental and genetic influences. Professor Douglas A. Abbott, Ph.D. from the University of Nebraska, states, and I quote, "Behavioral genetics always acknowledges both environmental and genetic influences on behavior, never assuming that one or the other is omnipotent," end of quote. And so, a gay gene, as it is sometimes called, that determines whether one is a homosexual, has never been discovered. Dr. Abbott also stated, and I quote, "It is reasonable to assume that sexual behavior, in any and all of its manifestation, is directed by the activity of many, possibly hundreds of genes. But the exact and specific type of sexual expression is also influenced by countless environmental forces that interact with the genes in complex ways. Except for the rare physical abnormalities, such as Huntington's disease, at the present time, there is no evidence of a direct causative link between a single gene and complex psychosocial behavior such as sexual preference. This is not my mere idiosyncratic opinion, but read any book on behavior genetics or molecular biology, and the authors will unanimously agree that, at present, there is no gay gene." End of quote. Therefore, it cannot be said that one is born a homosexual. And I think it's also important that we understand that there is a distinction between the homosexual desire or passion and the homosexual practice. We want to emphasize that he who has the homosexual desire does not have to become a practicing homosexual. Now, there is no question that some people have same-sex attractions. And while it is being presently debated as to how they got these desires, there's one thing that is not debatable, and that is those who have these desires do not have to engage in homosexual behavior. The homosexual practice is a choice. You know, there are those who have the desire to sexually molest children. They may even claim that they have always had that desire. Well, is it right for them to engage in that behavior? Well, no. They must learn to control those desires. A person may struggle with violent passions. He is a hot-tempered person who desires to do violence on others. Well, does he have the right to act on those desires? No, he must control those desires. A recovering alcoholic has a desire for alcohol. But what does he do? Well, he controls those desires and refrains from drinking. The homosexual has same-sex attractions. But what does he do? Well, to be right with God, he must control the desires. He does not have to be a practicing homosexual. Now, let's look at a second foundational belief of the gay rights movement, and that is homosexuality is unchangeable. Some psychologists and psychiatrists will tell you it is a well-known fact among professionals that homosexuals cannot change. Well, this is not true. Dr. Robert L. Spitzer, the prominent psychiatrist and researcher at Columbia University, who was the architect of the 1973 decision to remove homosexuality from the diagnostic manual, and also a longtime supporter of gay rights, in a study concluded that many homosexuals can change. In an article co-authored by Dr. A. Dean Bird, it states that Dr. Spitzer's, quote, current study focused on whether or not individuals can change. His preliminary conclusions are, quote, I am convinced from the people I have interviewed that for many of them, they have made substantial changes toward becoming heterosexual. He later said, I came to this study skeptical. I now claim that these changes can be sustained. End of quote. Alan P. Mendinger, a former homosexual, wrote, in fact, no study has ever proven that homosexual people cannot change. Furthermore, it is theoretically impossible to ever come up with such proof so long as thousands of us claim that we are changed. End of quote. Therefore, the idea that homosexuality is inborn and that homosexuality is unchangeable are false concepts. They have been imposed on our society and are detrimental to the well-being of those who desire to change. They can change. They do not have to be what they are. And the Bible teaches that homosexuals can change their behavior. Earlier we read from 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10, where Paul says that the unrighteous, such as adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, etc., will not inherit the kingdom of God. He then says in verse 11, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Some of these Corinthian saints had been homosexuals, but they changed. And so can you. If you are a practicing homosexual, you can change if you desire. God has made that possible with His help. Now, we're not saying, and God does not say in His Word, that a homosexual must become a practicing heterosexual in order to be right with God. The homosexual who turns to God may decide to live a celibate life if that is his choice. And if he chooses to engage in heterosexual behavior, it must be in the rightful relationship of marriage between a man and a woman. Read 1 Corinthians 7, verses 1 through 5. But we must emphasize that for the practicing homosexual to be right with God, he must repent, which means he must cease his homosexual behavior and come to God and obey His gospel. Now, does God's love and compassion for the practicing homosexual mean that God accepts their behavior? Well, no. Understanding that the practicing homosexual is committing sin and that he does not have to be what he is, God's love for him calls upon him to repent of his sinful practice. You see, God loves all mankind, but that does not mean that he accepts whatever man does. You know, he loves the child molester, and because of his love, he commands the child molester to repent. We as Christians are sometimes accused of hating homosexuals because we preach against the homosexual practice. No. We who are Christians have the love of God in our hearts and believe that practicing homosexuals do not have to be what they are. We believe they can change and must change in order to be right with God. Because we believe this, we are intolerant to their behavior and not of their persons. We believe they are human beings made in the image of God and should be so treated. Therefore, we want to help homosexuals to change their behavior so they can be right with God.
You have been listening to Bible Talk, brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. You are invited to the services of the St. James Church of Christ, Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible classes and 10:15 for worship, Sunday evening at 5 for worship, Wednesday night Bible classes at 7. The church building is located at 685 Sydney Street in St. James, where Sydney Street and Highway B intersect. Thank you for listening, and join us again next week at this same time for Bible Talk.